September 21, 2002. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you. Soldier, his wife, and the bum. I was a bum in San Francisco, but once managed to go to a symphony concert along with the well-dressed people. And the music was good, but something about the audience was not. And something about the orchestra and the conductor was not. Although the building was fine and the acoustics perfect, I preferred to listen to the music alone on my radio. And afterwards, I did go back to my room, and I turned on the radio. But there was a pounding on the wall. Shut that goddamn thing off! There was a soldier in the next room living with his wife, and soon he'd be going over there to protect me from Hitler. So I snapped the radio off, and then I'd heard his wife say, "You shouldn't have done that." And the soldier said, "Fuck that guy," which I thought was a very nice thing for him to tell his wife to do. Of course, she never did. Anyhow, I never went to another live concert, and that night I listened to the radio very quietly, my ear pressed to the speaker. War has its price, and peace never lasts, and millions of young men everywhere would die. As I listened to the classical music, I heard them making love, desperately and mournfully, through Shostakovich, Brahms, Mozart, through crescendo and climax, and through the shared walls of our darkness.
Whoops, Brother Matt. Oh, man.
Good one.
It's another Watt from Pedro show, September 21. 2002, Saturday morning. Brother Matt, how are you?
Good, excellent.
Okay, and I have a special guest here with us today, Mr. Raymond Pettibone.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome, Raymond.
Yes, his master's voice, faithful companion, obedient servant.
We are just hearing some Charles Bukowski, the soldier, his wife, and the bum, and started off with John Coltrane, 1963, live in Berlin, Chasing the Train. Raymond, you just came back from Berlin.
Yeah, I'm trying to put the wall back up.
And you had a show there?
Yeah.
And
but I got to hold hands with a lot of U.S. servicemen, and it made me feel right at home. And we made a daisy chain around east and west, and we're doing our best to make things right again.
So what if Bush comes through with his threat and pulls the troops out?
That's a hell of a note, Mike. I don't think Germany can survive without the American troops buttressing up their democracy.
Yeah, some words to take to heart. So don't forsake them, grand leader. Raymond's brought some records. We've got one you gave me here from Wade Curtis and the Rhythm Rockers. And there's a wrestler on the cover. What's that about, Raymond?
I don't know. You'll just have to play this one, because I think I heard it once before, but no, so I'll listen to everyone else. I'm sure there's a lot more people out there who know it better than I do.
All right, here we go. Watt from Pedro Show.
Of Buffalo's own Dixie D, along with Ted Russell and his rhythm writings. You'll see them all in person this Friday night, November 3rd, at St. Leo's Auditorium on Sweet Home Road in Williamsville. We'll be there to MC the All-Star Record Hop and Stage Show, sponsored by St. Leo's CYO. An extra added attraction will be Buffalo's own Frankie Nestro. So don't forget, this Friday night, all you fellas and gals in the Williamsville area, take in the big All-Star Record Hop and Stage Show with Buffalo's own Frankie Nestro and the swinging singing of Dixie D with Ted Russell and his rhythm rockers. All in person this Friday night at St. Leo's Auditorium on Sweet Home Road. 3 big hours of dancing starting at 8:30. We'll be looking for you this Friday night at St. Leo's.
What from Pedro show. That was the pop group. Something on John Peel's show 20 or something years ago. Words Disobey Me. Before that, D. Boone by himself at the Lassa Club in 1984. I don't know what the name of that song is. I never heard it before. I wasn't at the gig.
What a treat to get a fresh D. Boone song.
Yeah, this is a jewel, gem. I thought it was an instrumental, but he started singing at the end there. So
may have been wearing that same strap.
Oh, wow, you have a strap. Yeah. We started out with Maxine from Wade Curtis and the Rhythm Rockers. And at the end of that tune, there was a little radio
DJ
promo.
Dude.
Yeah. What was that about, Raymond?
Don't know. Never heard it before. I'm just a little bit older than you, Watt.
Where'd you get that record?
I think I got it. I must have got it from Scooters in Hermosa Beach.
Oh yeah, I read.
It's not an it's not an original. It's a reissue.
Do you remember what your first record you ever got was?
You know, probably it was Dick Dell or Surf Music. Jan and Dean, Dick Dell. Well, if you want to go officially, it was Uncle Don, the, you know, for children when I was back in Wasco. But I didn't buy that myself. I just played it all the time. But the first one I bought was from some, probably Goodwill on, like, Western Avenue or... that's what I remember.
Yeah, when I was driving into Hermosa this morning, there was a sign for Dick Dell. I guess he's going to play the Lobster Festival in Orlando there.
I ate pizza with him one time.
Yeah?
What size of pizza was it?
I think there were several larges.
Several?
Yeah, well, not just for him. He had a tiger, too. I don't think the tiger was eating pizza. But
yeah, does he still have that?
I don't know. I don't think... I have no idea. This was about 84, 85, somewhere around there.
It's a monster RV, guitar. So
back
on
the longboard.
Dewey Weber.
Yeah, Dewey Weber. Yeah. Longboard.
Yeah, he is a Hermoso. He just died a few
years ago. Yeah, that used to be great little longboard contest they had down there.
You got a longboard on your balcony.
Yeah, I don't know if it floats. it's made out of damn, like, copper? Or...
Yeah.
Actually,
where'd you get that thing? Someone give it to you?
Art.
Oh, it's a piece.
Don't ask.
Okay, and then there's a little short one in the hallway.
Oh, I just got that from my neighbor who as we speak, I think he's back in Australia, but he makes it's made out of bamboo. It's a beautiful board. They sell it at ET Surfboards. And I don't know if I gave me his record, you know. Believe me, this wasn't planned, but I think we may have brought his CD.
Oh wow.
Maybe not, though. Okay, don't get your hopes too high up. But that's a beautiful board. It's made out of bamboo.
Yeah, I know. Wow. I was checking it out. Yeah. It's like the name of the company is Bamboo Boards or something.
Yeah, Australian.
And I looked close at it. It was like, this isn't fiberglass.
No.
And it weighs nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really light.
It's got an epoxy covering instead of resin. I haven't taken it out yet. I just got it.
Yeah, it didn't have the skags on it.
No.
I mean, this thing was only like...
It's like a big knee board. I mean, to me, it's
kind of wide.
I'm lucky to get up on it at all.
So did you get out much?
No, it breaks out front about three days out of the year, so and I've been out about 2 days. Mm. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, Pedro just had the break happen, and it hadn't happened in years. But all the spots for going off as well was coming just from the right way. So yeah.
Was this like a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, it was when I was at Burning Man.
Yeah. It was when I was out of town. I heard like the wedge was like 18 foot.
Yeah,
he's real big in Newport.
Yeah.
All the south-facing ones got it, though, pretty good.
Well, that, you know, that doesn't translate to the South Bay, though, because of
I think it stops at Portuguese Bend around there. Yeah.
If we can cut off, you know, the Palos Verdes Peninsula and Pedro, carve that off and make an island of it, I'm sure you wouldn't mind, after all.
Yeah,
they got a pretty good break.
We got rid of Catalina, too. That'd probably help out.
Catalina, too. Well... Catalina doesn't belong there. I don't know anyone who thinks it does.
Have you ever been over there?
Catalina? Yeah.
Last time.
A couple times, finally.
15 years ago, I think, last time I was over. You got to go in winter, it's a total zoo.
They used to work the boat. That was a pretty fun job, Catalina Express.
I worked the parking lot for the boat.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, late 70s.
Little local jobs.
Deboon got pneumonia. Yeah, I got him hired there, and he had graveyard shift, and someone broke the booth window with a rock, and he conked out without a coat on and got pneumonia. It's horrible.
And he got fired, probably.
No.
For getting pneumonia for conking out.
God, he almost died. That was a trip for him. This lady, Miss Weiswasser, nursed him back to health, and he almost converted over to Judaism.
Yeah.
It was trippy.
Well, saved his life that he didn't, right?
She ends up getting shot by her husband, murdered.
Hmm.
It's horrible. Vince. He was selling Tupperware for her for a while, having Tupperware parties.
Jeez.
She's a real gentle lady.
I'd like to be there.
But the husband was a real dick. He was sleeping with her sister. And when she confronted him, he murdered her.
And he shot her.
It's horrible.
Man.
Man, I'm glad I was born a boy.
Not good for the radio. We got another record from you, Raymond, here. It's Alley Cat's a Lomita Band. Danger House record. Randy, he's had hard times, you know. And now his parents, he's from the Hill originally, and his parents moved out. So I think he was doing jingles for a while. But he really stuck out among them other bands in those days. I guess, you know what I mean, he could play, and he used a thumb pick. Alley Cats were quite a band. Probably one of the first from South Bay to get to play up in Hollywood.
Yeah, but... South Bay, it was people define it in one way or another. I mean, it's like, yeah, I knew them back a long time, and
it's hard to translate the hands things over the.
Then we're in trouble. Because I'm very flamboyant with the hands.
You know, the bass player, she went on to run the Rat Fan Club.
Really? Yeah.
In fact, she got absconded by Marshall.
Her husband, yeah.
Well, Milton Berle's nephew.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole this horrible thing behind that.
Well, Rat was South Bay.
Really? I thought they were San Diego.
No, I don't know about the whole band, but some of them.
I know Dawkins was.
Dawkins, yeah.
Great White. What was that studio?
Meteor?
Total Access.
Total Access, yeah.
Total Access. A lot of those guys recorded there.
Like their first demos or their...
The first records.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did Project Mercia, and the guy gave us the whole rundown. I was there
selling a studio.
Yeah.
Elvis recorded here for...
Okay, here's some Alley Cats, Watch for Pedro show. One, two, three.
Whoa!
Watt from Pedro Show. Here's some Rocky Erickson. Gonna Free Her. Before that, Jay Mascis in the Fog. His new record, Set Us Free, song. And we started off with Give Me a Little Pain by the Alley Cats. I saw the bass. My practice pad, because one of the guys was playing with Randy a while, and the bass that Diane used in the Alley Cats is there. Headstocks all broke off. And what a coincidence. It was very sad. Raymond, me and you went and saw Slater Kinney Thursday. What'd you think of that gig?
Yeah, I thought they were really hot.
What about the pad they were playing in?
It's
a mall, giant mall.
I don't think they're going to do, they're going to have a series of hardcore concerts there. There's too much to lose.
Yeah, there's this mall there. It looks like a Disney thing, Brother Matt.
Where was it?
It's on Hollywood in Highland. It's called the Hollywood Highland Mall or something. And it's really...
the new chic zone.
Gaudy, whatever. It's pretty outrageous. Kind of Babylonian decorum, giant vases, and a huge elephants, and cement, not real. Mesopotamian kind of gods.
Yeah, it's kind of a throwback to one of those old Hollywood sets, like for Intolerance.
Cecil B. DeMille.
Epics.
kind of thing. It's too much. And, of course, 500,000 security guys with walkie-talkie headsets.
Feel
it
safe?
Seem any worse than it usually is, though.
No.
Do you feel safe?
Where'd you say the other one? You saw one that was like that. It just...
Oh, the one in Farmer's Market.
Yeah, it just grew out of nothing.
Yeah. Where'd that come from? All of a sudden, just boom.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. Did they get rid of all the little chow pads?
I drove by the other night, and the cops and fire department were having some scene around there. So,
oh wow!
I kind of took a detour.
Dodged it.
Took a detour.
That's
left.
Smart.
I think it was. You know, I'm not sure, but I think it's more of an adjunct. I don't think they.
Yeah, it looked like it was an attached type of thing.
But it's right there. I'm all for that though. All this. If you're against redevelopment, if you want a committee of... if you want the whole world to be like Santa Monica with the city council and all these... Nowadays, McDonald's are historical monuments and, you know, where do you draw the line? Get over, you know, this nostalgia for the past and... It's really
bring the malls.
Bring on the wrecking ball.
Leave nothing standing. Does Hermosa have to be redeveloped? Oh, they did at the pier, right?
They did with the church. Yeah, that was one of the few instances where a church was raised because it was usually that is like the what do you call it? The sanctuary, right?
Yeah, right.
But when punk rockers and squatters and then it.
It's time for the record ball.
It's a sanctuary for them.
Screw that nostalgia, too. I mean, come on.
It's over.
Otherwise we need a neutron bomb to protect the precious buildings
from people.
And, yeah, exactly. which is really the message of all this local control of now that we moved here, we want to keep it as it was. In other words, property values, etc. With this place in on Holly Boulevard, though, it was Holly Boulevard. Well, they'll try anything. You know, that's why they could get away with that.
They want to secede.
Yeah. Why stop at cities? I mean, I wish I could secede from the Union. You're for the violent overthrow of the American government, aren't you, Watt? Want to go on record?
I'm for the violent overthrow. Have Prince lead the charge. It's a war of ideas and minds. That's the way I was brought up. So don't try to get the Smith Act sicked on me, Raymond. We've got another record you brought here. We're going to play now some Uriah Heep. What's behind that?
Just what I had in my quiver.
Okay. And it's kind of a philosophical tune. Stealing.
Yeah, and this is very popular in my 4-H club.
Okay, Watt from Pedro Show.
Oh.
What from Pedro show, coming at the end of the first hour, Brother Matt, special guest Raymond Pettibone. That was some Tyrannosaurus Rex there. I apologize for starting the tune at the wrong speed. It's pilot error, sorry. Still not that together with this yet. I'm trying. That's something Raymond picked. For me, though, because I like it a lot. It's a song called The Misty Coasts of Albany. It was very misty this morning, peddling way socked in with fog, but it was neat.
Yeah, real foggy last night for the big moon, too.
Yeah, so a couple nights ago, did you see the missile trails? They launched one off Vandenberg, and I got a picture of it.
Oh, yeah?
It was quite a show. All the so trails left from the fuel and all that.
Uh-huh.
I guess they hit a target 4,200 miles away. Took 30 minutes.
Little junior Star Wars practice?
Yeah, whatever. Before that, we heard the Tyrannosaurus Rex. We heard AC/DC. Another song Raymond picked, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap.
I don't want to dedicate. There's so many.
And we started with Stealing Uriah Heep, the special radio edit. In fact, so special they had the same song on both sides, so the idiot DJ would not
so blow special it. That the A&R man handed it to Mike Watt personally to play.
The big cho-cho line on his back of his hand.
You want to share some of that, too?
No. I blew it away. I thought it was Comet. Okay, sit tight for hour two, coming right up. September 21st, 2002. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Long-haired, leaping gnome should be the star of a Hollywood movie. There was long ones, tall ones, short ones, brown ones, black ones, round ones, big ones, crazy ones.
Hitler got started. We take you to Bremerhaven, 1927, the largest theatrical office in Germany. MCA, Mein Kampf Arises. And we listen to the two German agents. And the agents are in peril. The Kaiser, it seems, sort of flipped. Heinrich, what it is. You realize what's happening? I realize one thing, that we have 48 hours to find the dictator. What did you do? I just took a chance and I called up Central Casting. Maybe, who can know? Maybe there is some dictator types and we'll swing. All right, switch on the intercom. Is Perron? Send in the dictator type, sweetie.
They're coming in now, the fellows. They're all actors here, maybe. Yeah, sit down wherever you want, fellas. Relax. My name is Ben Merlzer. And in the agent here, we are trying to find the dictator today. We have no script, a couple of pages, you know. We want to see just today how you guys move, that's all. You know, just add a little bit and we do the bit, all right? Okay, we call up the first fellow, Ben Eisler. Ben, he come over here. That's it, just ad lib. We want to see how you move today, or maybe we put a few bucks behind you, you can do. All right? Just, Benny, you look familiar. Did I do your Schlitz Playhouse that you once did today? No? Gene Herschel, the thing for Ziv? No? All right. Okay, just sort of do the bit, all right?
That's a song of spilling eyes, got three miles.
Get out of here with that Brando jazz. Are you kidding with that? All of you gentlemen, get out of here. That's right. Get out. Out, all of you. They will call your agents.
Hey, but don't bother me. Hey, what is it?
Don't look now. The dictator guy on your right that's painting the wall. Where? Don't look right away. You'll think you're putting him on. The schlub with the white uniform and the cap on there. There, there is him right there. I find a hole for the schlub. Sonny, put down that painting. You do that later. Come here, come here. That's right. Look at his face. Is this an album cover? Oh, this is Alviro. What's your name, my friend?
Adolf Schickelbube.
You're putting us on. Well, you guys talk about me alone. I'll go back to my thing. Just stand there. That's your name, Adolf Schickelbube? It's a hoof and mouth disease, no? Hey, come on, you guys. Don't fool around me, yeah? I know you show people fooling around make us fool out of somebody that they're not going to fool around. I like Adolf. That's sort of hip. It's offbeat. I never heard this name. Adolf, that's nice. Give me a last name. I like that. Sort of offbeat. Like Adolf what? Manju. You shut up. What a moron you are. That's your dumb sense of humor. Let's see. I like Adolf. We should have something. Maybe something. See, we have something that's going to really hit the people. Hitler. Adolf Hitler. How nice that. Adolf Hitler. Leret Hakleckla. Hitler. Adolf, you're going to make more money in a minute than what you make with this Kempton jazz in a year. No more you are going to have to knock on the wall to see that it's genuine plaster. Adolf? Yeah? You're going to make a lot of money with you, sweetie. You should give him a different act.
We get a little rhythm section behind him. We'll swing down. Sure. Jonah Jones, maybe? Yeah, okay. Call up maybe, call up Leonard Bernstein. We get some tunes for him. Something nice opener.
Ho, 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 goodbye, Denmark, goodbye. Poland, how I love you, how I love you. Czechoslovakia, here I come. Take you now to Ike's apartment. We hear Ike talking to Sherm. Well, Sherm, you goof, baby. That's six iron. Let's see, I'll make that little putt there. And, Sherm, I don't want to fight you, baby, but I really have got my hands tied now. Maybe we can beat this if you tell me now. Now, let's see. Get straight. You got a coat, right? Yeah. And you got the rug. Yeah. And, now, what did you do in the hotel for $2,000? Now, what I want to know is, did you get anything else? No, I didn't get anything else. Don't lie to me. Because, you know, I won't hit you if you tell me the truth. Tell me the truth and you get it off your chest now. You know, don't, you know, I hate a liar. If I find out later, then I'll, you know, wrap you around a little. But, I got one more thing. What's that? Delaware. Oh, how could you take that? You can't do things like that. What's the matter with you? I don't know. Well, how are we going to get out of this? I said I got an idea. You're going to laugh at me for saying this. What? The newspapers are really bringing all the heat on us. So if we could think of a headline to sort of wipe it out just for 4 or 5 days, well, what could we do? How about getting one of the cabinet members assassinated? Well, I don't know. Some of those things backfire. Maybe if we could, you know, just get them, not in this country, somewhere else, maybe, you know. I got an idea. Switch on the intercom. Seal, send in Nixon.
Okay. Here's some Lenny Bruce from a record Raymond brought, a little red one on Fantasy, Salzan's label. Hitler and MCA, and then a little excerpt to Ike, Sherm, and Nick, I think. Before that, we had Joe Biza doing 9:30 May 2nd, a Minuteman song. And we started with Spill the Wine, Eric Burden and War, another record Raymond brought. Because the War is a local band, right?
Yeah,
Eric Burden. Yeah, well, I guess he's local. He's lived in L.A. a long time. I saw a thing ad. He's playing gigs again.
He's really good. He's worth seeing. I saw him maybe a year ago or so.
Yeah?
One of the great voices in
yeah, Toronto. Intense. How was he? How's he looking?
Looking good, sounding good, yeah.
I mean, great.
It's not too many of, no.
Remember when we saw Arthur Lee? Well, he's playing again, you know.
Arthur Lee is.
He's back out of jail.
Is great.
Yeah, and I heard from people who've seen him in the last couple months and says he's together. The last time we saw him, he never got a song out.
Yeah, but, you know, the time before that I saw him, he was amazing. And, yeah, I
think that was at the teaser. And he kept laughing.
That was the one, yeah.
Yeah, he wouldn't. He couldn't get a song. The drummer, I remember, stood up.
Well, I was dosed myself, and I heard every song like it was on the record, you know, like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, the whole set. He was so tight. So, you know, it's a subjective problem with you, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, you should have...
Well, his storytelling had me mesmerized. I love every time I see him. He's always playing the guitar that Jimi Hendrix gave him. It's incredible.
Yeah. I have one of those myself.
You have one, too. I forgot last hour, one of the songs there was Meat Puppets in 85, Walkin' Boss, Peppermint Lounge. I was discussing with Raymond about Peppermint Lounge in New York City and the old days when we used to tour a lot of clubs. If you got to play clubs, they were usually gay clubs and stuff. And otherwise, it'd be rented out of halls. The rock and roll people... really didn't want punk bands, and so it was people renting out halls or gay clubs. Clean bathrooms, I tell you, get off the floor. And, you know, my outfit with the flannel and the jeans and the beard, it was... I saw Raymond after a gig at the Peppermint Lounge, just put away my equipment, and I had a conga line behind me. That is something else. Time now for this week's installment, Brother Matt's Spin Cycle. We'll be back with Raymond right after his spin.
I'm not going to do this anymore.
Thank you. should get drunk. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what?
Jaho, Janamim Song, Guya Hato, Pity Tuchang, your pity for Lang, your Nyoto, the picture Tuchang.
Thank you very much, Brother Matt, for another Spin Cycle installment.
Cool, thank you.
Here's a record Raymond picked, something live from the Lighthouse quite a while ago.
that it, Roland? Okay.
Fireworks and accidents, you're talking to an audience that's growing smaller with every word. Turn towards another night with lack of food and loss of sight. Cross-check and counter-refer. Peel off a sheaf of skin, well-preserved and send it into laboratories by the mail. Scientific tests will prove, define, locate, and remove. Quick success and painful detail. Passport out, and your shirts will crease, with a suitcase handle pointed for the fitteries. Toss a wave and say hello to the freezing Eskimo, park your car around the block. Cemetery gate swings wide, there's a place to set aside, ready-made fit into a slot. Smell of fogging in a a pack of dogs bite at your knees. They seem to know where you have been to an ugly fate. Ride the bus for cheaper rates. I'll pick you up when you get in.
But I never left the room away.
What from Pedro Show. That was the Stars of Rock, an Albany band I played with last tour. For that, Grandpa's Ghost with Sonny Speaks Again. We were talking about emo. And we close?
Yeah. But.
Oh, yeah. So we're winding down on the end of the second hour Watt for Pedro Show for September 21st, 2002. Before the Grandpa's Ghost was, what was that?
Howard Rumsey's
Oh, Lighthouse.
Lighthouse All-Stars. That was live from the Lighthouse. And All the Things You Are, Jerome Kern tune. I played, well, I'll have to tell you about it next hour. Okay, hold tight. September 21st, 2002. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Isn't that right? I want some, but tonight. I want some, alright. But she can't help, because she's not right. No. It's always this way. I'm not right. You want some, tonight. You want some. Alright, but I can't help, because I'm not right. No. And it's always this way.
Meditation. This one, let's just call it, rather do it to boys and girls like you. Here I am. come off.
Whoa, Brother Matt.
You get the same look if you're gonna do the songs or the talking.
It's like I get the look. Okay, I'll arch the eyebrows when it's time to go to voiceover.
You know, it's unspoken.
Get beyond that. That was Johnny Thunder, Wayne Kramer, Gang War. I'd rather be with the boys than with the girls like you. And before that, Stooges Not Right. End of the second hour there. I wanted to talk about emo. What do you think of emo, Raymond?
You tell me.
You want me to tell you what you think?
I'm just so involved in this.
Oh, okay.
I can gush. You know, I can sigh. But
you were talking about things making a cycle when you heard the Carducci Band. Grandpa's Ghost singing. I brought up the emo, actually, but you were saying things make a cycle of the whiny voices, and I said, what do you think of emo?
Yeah, well, you were talking about whiny voices and Johnny Ray, you know, is...
Yeah, the king of that. There's this Omaha band called Bright Eyes, and the cat's literally crying when he's singing. Probably, you think it goes over better with the girls or the guys?
I think little girls.
Yeah?
Posters on the wall.
Yeah.
Little girls, older girls, you know. I mean, Johnny Ray to Liberace to the Smiths to...
That guy was whiny.
Or not the Smiths. Cure. The Cure, okay. Yeah. Well, both, whatever.
Yeah, something like that. They were all in the same league.
K-Rock. And so now in the 2000s, what do you call these times?
Media.
You can't call them the 80s or the 90s. What do you call these times?
I haven't worked that out yet.
The O's? Turn of the century?
It's like these songs of media cutting the nuts off the dudes with those bands.
Yeah.
Depends on what your attention span is. I mean, whether you think historically or...
I just don't know what to call it.
I don't know what to call the last week because I've kind of comatose, but I'm much better with the last 2,000 years, okay? You know, Reed Gibbon, for Christ's sakes.
Hotline.
So emo, it's probably a marketing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to Raymond about, I played with the first emo band, right spring in the 80s with the Minutemen. In fact, I had to use Guy's bass because mine shut down. Got it, and the neck was so shattered, he had dropped it or something. It's very hard to break a Fender, too, but it was so shattered when you play notes, it would vibrate my hand and pinch. The cracks would pinch on my palm. See what hazardous duty it is playing music. Such a...
Not to mention electricity.
Oh, yeah.
How many bass players have died because of that?
All right, Uriah Heep guy, Gary Thang. And Country Joe's guy. It's a dangerous, dangerous occupation.
One splinter can fuck you up.
Yeah. Out of the race. But they weren't so whiny. They were hardcore kids. Kind of playing a little more melodic. So this thing over to emo nowadays... It's pretty safe than the spoon-feed kids. So maybe you're onto something, Brother Matt, with that theory.
Seems like it.
Yeah. If you got people whining and crying. Maybe it's a reaction to hardcore slamming. Pendulum swings the other way.
Yang.
And you have girls fighting to get to the front of the stage instead of boys fighting in front of the stage. Or around the stage, in the pit. Hey, Raymond, can we talk about art?
Yeah.
Okay. You've been doing it for a long time now. And Has anybody ever asked you what you're trying to do with your art?
I don't know, I guess, I suppose. I don't know how to
answer
that.
Well, then let me.
It's a little too general. All right. You're going to ask me that?
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I trying to do with my art?
Well, some one time that Kosky guy asked Coltrane what he was trying to do with his music.
Yeah,
and Coltrane
but, you know,
told him, well, I'm just trying to uplift people.
Okay, ditto. I mean, I'm not being sarcastic, but I wouldn't put it in those terms, but then, you know, in those kind of general terms, I think I will let Coltrane speak to me, speak for me if I can, you know. I can
it's his birthday Monday.
Yeah.
He would have been 76. Well, what are you not trying to do with your art?
It's too general a question. I mean, how would you answer that?
Well,
unless you have something, I don't know. I mean,
because you know, I never hear you speak bad about other artists, which is a good thing. It's very rare. Most people I know who do art have plenty of bad things to say about other artists, but you never are like that.
It's not like because we're in the same union or anything. It's not because I don't know. I don't like to speak bad about anyone.
Well, I would call that a good trait.
Not necessarily.
Do you ever try to piss somebody off? Or not in particular, but in general? With a
provoke?
Certain piece? Yeah.
By artwork?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, I want to put it in those terms, but yeah, I'm not. It's not Melkatoast kind of like, let's all get together and love one another, feel good vibe. No. I mean, my art, if, like one of the great cartoonists, Pat Oliphant, said, you know, if I couldn't be an artist, I'd be an assassin. And I feel the same way. No, I'm not. Oh, this pen is mightier than the sword. Bull crap. Okay, well, you know, I'm trying to see if there is a remnant left. If anyone is
sometimes you like to use the literary things in your artworks. Are you celebrating the works you're reading from?
No. These
do they inspire you?
No, it can be. It's not tribute to the works or celebrating. Of course not.
It just sets something off in your head.
Yeah, but anything can.
Would you, I mean, a lot of it seems is from writing, but movies too, right? Sometimes.
Sure. Anything, really.
Yeah, I like to use book stuff with my work too. The canvas, the words leave, is so open, you know, because it's such an abstract way of communicating. And I do get inspired, set off.
Well, you know, I always loved your lyrics. You and D. Boone's and George's. And with music, there's... I was never really successful on hearing, listening to the lyrics all the way through, and any more than the chorus. And when I grew up, it was Well, anyway, with music, you have a on the page. I can be more clear about that. Where it's like the difference of hearing something over the radio and having the lyric sheet in front of you. Well, you know, that's not usually the case.
You use a lot of words in your art. Are they like lyrics, kind of?
I don't know. I guess.
I know it's a different thing.
Yeah, of course it is. So.
The field I'm in is a lot more performance driven. And it seems where you're at is more private, especially producing it. What about when they first come out, like the art show? Oh, how do you feel about those things? Are you comfortable with them? I know you have to go to them.
I'm not necessarily comfortable with them, but I have a huge entourage that kind of makes me feel at home. You know, that I travel with.
That attend you.
Yeah.
You've done things at your gigs like play.
Yeah.
Bring your bands into the gallery and do gig.
Yeah. I feel like why not? Anyone can do this rock. This rock jazz, you know.
It humanizes it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're obligated to, so.
You recorded about 6 months ago, right?
Yeah, but...
Last.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening with that, though.
Do you have plans?
It's not up to me, necessarily. I mean, this is, you know, when you go into this rock thing, it's like a more of a collaborative... Hell, I'm just a singer, songwriter... producer, star.
Do you like it better than the ink and your artwork?
It depends. It depends on where I am. Like some places, I'm utterly, totally unknown as an artist, and I'm known more as a pop star from my boy group. Background.
And that can get, place.
You know, I know your next, I can anticipate your next question and stuff as if you haven't lived through them. But you want to share it with this radio audience. Okay, well, if there's good and bad things about it. I mean, as you know, but you try to pretend not to know about the adulation and the stardom. It's like something that you live your whole life wanting to... This is what it's all going to add up to. And you've lived like 29 years like myself, and you're like, finally, you've hit... Okay, well, maybe this goes back a few years when we broke, like in most of the Western world. And you think, this is going to make... This is a reason for me existing, for being born. And then the first week, it starts... After 29 years on Earth, it starts getting a chore. You know, you feel wary about... all the adulation about the autographs and
losing your soul.
More obscene things I shouldn't mention here, which is love, you know, but too much love even is you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It'd be it's good to have a balance of a little too much hate. Keep things tempered and real. That's the problem, I think, with the music. It's not kept abstract enough. I think people buy into it as the ultimate reality. A lot of people get their values, their information, all this from music. And, or I don't even know if you call it music, the theater of sound and image. Rock
well,
and roll.
MTV is certainly very, very far right.
Yeah. How big is the gap between the people running MTV and the people watching, you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think most of the people who buy records, most of what the industry is, the bedrock is, are between the ages of 11, 12 to 16 to high school years. And that's what basically, I think, editorially and ideologically, MTV is managing. You know, like the news media manages the news with government. It's very, it's part of the industry.
What about the people buying art?
Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of 11 to 12 to 16 year old chicks. No, so it's a little different.
Are they being managed, you think?
The art world is so small and so apart from. Well, it's not. And Joaquin, there's just not. No, it's a completely different kind of entity from.
From the music world. In the news world. Well, what do you think of that world?
Of what?
The art world.
What about it?
Well, for you, is it like in a vacuum?
No, it's not. No, that's not what I meant. Of course it's not. Hell no.
Would you say they're more, they're less under influences, the institutions?
No.
They police themselves? Or?
No.
Would you consider yourself immersed in it?
Immersed in what?
The art world.
No. No, because I wasn't. There's a difference between making art and being in art world. I mean, I was
been
making art for a long time, and.
How do you go about making it? Do you have like a regular schedule or a certain burst of inspiration?
That depends.
When the muse touches
much,
you?
Hmm?
When the muse touches you?
I think you get to the point where you can control the muse rather than being controlled by it, you know? And
you summon it.
Summon it, and I don't know. I mean, there's
invoke it.
There is something to do with this idea of inspiration, depending on how you put it. But I've lately, for a long time, I've been pretty busy around the clock, and it's not a matter of like summoning the muse or the.
If you could change something about the art world, what would you? Would you? And what would that be?
I'm sure there's a lot of things. I'm just not prepared to think of it now. For that to become a focus of until recently, for 10 years, art was like the major cause célèbre of the Republican Party, and to, as if this is this microcosm for the rest of the world to answer for all the problems, and it's really the other way around. You know, what about changing the world at large?
And now reflecting on, well, you were telling me you kind of had a problem with galleries.
My commitment is to do the art, and whatever avenues, you know, of technology, economics, or society, relationships, however it, that's not for me up to decide, you know.
So, like, once it leaves you, it's...
Pretty much, yeah. You know.
And you were saying that with the gallery thing, it seems like it's the same people.
It's
too closed, yeah, that go to see that stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, how many... How many people go to see a gallery show? But, you know, I've never had any delusions that what I do is going to have this this general appeal anyway. So it's really not an issue with me.
And what would you tell young artists?
I don't know. There's nothing I can tell.
I mean, if somebody...
It's a lot like, you know, without going into it, because I don't know if I'm prepared to, but it's a lot like if I asked you that question, what would you tell some person picking up an instrument for the first time, and it's not that different.
Yeah, well, I would have some definite ideas.
Well, you've gone through that more
than
I have.
You want me to?
Yeah, can I ask you that question?
Yeah,
no, seriously, because I'd like to hear what you would say.
I would say I think it would be very important for you to get in touch with the instrument and as a means of finding your inner voice. Because a lot of people, I feel, get into music as a shortcut to some kind of social advantage. And they don't use it as a means to... really for expression. Yeah. And I think that's what's hurting the scene in general. Because you have people just adopting poses and sounds and ways of working the machines that are, you know, they're serving another, they are serving a cause. Some kind of get socially accepted or to gain monetary or objects and stuff. And I wonder if that's the only thing music can be used for. So, you know, from my perspective, I would like to see more personality, more insides coming outsides via music. And so that's why I would tell them to do this. Try to find out What can a vehicle like music pull out from them? That, you know, I know it's kind of subjective, but it would make things interesting.
I agree. I mean, I think the roads to riches lies in not being true to yourself and not going commercial, mersh, as Michael put it. And if you want to make the big bucks, and this is it's very like in art and music. If you want to make the big bucks, and go into music or art as don't come with some program of some business model. Go into it for its own self, and if you trust that, then you're a lot more likely to win financial success and adulation of all the young girl population. And I think it's a lot more likely. Seriously, it's a lot more likely, God knows it's the result is better of what's recorded and et cetera. To have that business model than to like chase whatever is the current hip commercial sound image.
Would you give drawing lessons?
Would I?
Yeah.
Because
I get asked to give bass lessons a lot from a lot of kids who come to my shows.
Yeah, but...
And I have a weird conflict with this.
Okay, well, you know, bass it's not just technique. There is some kind of background to it. You know, like if you give technique or how do you judge that? I mean, as far as people who started with punk and with rock, I mean, your bass technique is amazing. Okay, but that is like in my case, I don't know why anyone would come to me for drawing lessons, because I'm not the greatest draftsman, however you want to put it. There's a lot of background to that, so it's more like, well, come to me for life lessons or how to be lessons on, you know, more like Socrates and how to live a moral life and to be a whole person rather than
technique.
Yeah, that I have a problem with. I'm still working on my technique, how to be a whole person and a moral person. That I've had down for a long time, but the technique part is kind of worrisome.
Yeah, see, the problem I have is I don't really think the world needs 1 or 10 or 100 Mike Watt clones. And so I think, in a way, I would like people to try to find their own way. I think that's part of getting your own voice or your own style.
That's hard to impart, though. I mean, did you have a mentor who you followed?
I played with my friend. I played with Deep Maroon. This guy who lived in his car showed us some stuff.
Of course, he had influences.
Yeah, big influences.
I mean, from one direction
John
or another.
But
I mean, you weren't like following someone.
No.
Like a side mouse, you know, like
no.
Attaching yourself to somebody.
No. And that's what I mean. I wouldn't want to do that to someone else. Like a music school or art school, you know, this is the way you draw, this is the way you play the bass. What kind of people do those mills turn out, you know? But you want to show people's potential, right, in themselves.
Yeah.
You don't really want to show them how to do it. You would like to install some kind of confidence in them so they maybe not be afraid
sure.
to try things. There's probably not enough chances being taken in music, right, or in art.
Yeah.
And that's probably a problem of mentality. Like there's only so many people who are good enough. And
yeah.
Which might be the case. Maybe there is only a certain amount of people that are good enough. But how do we know which ones are? Maybe it's just a phase of life. Maybe people are meant to play bass only a couple years in their life, and then they move on to things like running guns.
No, I don't think. When you
like Rimbaud, right? He only wrote 2 years, 3 years, and then he ran guns.
Yeah, and you know, to feel like we're maybe there's some social use for having. Teaching people to be artists or to be musicians, I think the ones that, well, you know, we don't need this like Eastern Bloc program for producing like Olympic athletes or Olympic musicians or.
Probably a lot of mediocrity out of something like that, huh? The people who learn how to take tests right probably do the best in that kind of.
Well, you'll have a lot of amazingly fast guitar players who can just, or but it's subjective, you know. It's not.
So what do you think of the whole idea of art grants?
I don't care. I mean, I'm against grants, period. I don't think there's ever been grants that have done good for anything. And but, you know, it's not an issue. Who cares? You know? It's so trivial. What are we talking here? Like, few hundred million dollars
compared to the billion a day on war.
Well, yeah.
Isn't that what we're spending now?
Yeah.
So would it be good to give the artists a chunk of that? No.
No. Well, no, I don't. Look.
I'm just.
I don't think there should be. I don't think there should be a government budget. There shouldn't be a government, okay? No, period. And usually there's this. When the government does get involved, there is this kind of a corrosive, corruptive effect on. There's an influences, you know, going, you know, so it like muddies up the experiment, you know, put it that way, and
creates patronage.
Yeah. But even with that, it's so. It's so trivial, you know, within even it's not an issue, you know. I mean, who cares?
Well, you were talking about the Republicans. They made a huge issue out of this.
Yes, they did. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not talking from there. I'm not, explaining from their point of view. It's symbolic, it's ideological, it means nothing, you know, other than that. It represents a lot of these latent issues of the neoconservative radical right wing has, which are very important to people like Hillary Kramer and whatever. And they mean nothing beyond that.
Do you think art has a significance if there was no one to see it?
art has a significance if there was no one to see it?
Yeah.
Like if...
Like, okay, do you feel you know the people who get your art?
Yeah, but there's a difference between no one seeing it, and then if no one's seen, if there isn't someone who sees it, then it's meaningless. I mean, there is.
Well, it's kind of, some people would say maybe it's a personal thing, and like no one does ever have to see it. Music too, right? This Ives guy wrote all that stuff, and no one ever got to see it performed.
Ives wasn't that socialized, isolated.
No, he worked in the insurance industry, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't like that. But no, I've always made art, like from a with a. I mean, not like speaking direct to direct, like whispering in their ears or writing out some personal letter, but yeah, with the idea that I am communicating. Okay, so of course there is. I'm not, you know, I'm not doing it just to like
purge demons.
No.
Quiet the voices inside your head.
No. I've got fists for that.
But you're not, on the other hand, you're not joining into this big, you know, choir.
What choir?
Between the maker and the watcher. There is a gap.
Yeah.
There should be a gap.
Yeah, that's hard for me to say. No, I'm not like, you know, I'm not this medically, you know, apart from when I make my art. I mean, it's not like I'm like I have this audience in mind, but
you think people should have struggle with it? Should it come
struggle
easy?
With what? What
making art? Or
what do you mean? Make?
Yeah, with making art, should they have to struggle?
Struggle.
Yeah.
You mean
have some kind of problems they have to overcome to get it going?
No. There's no reason.
Some people say that this world is too hard for artists.
No, there's no reason why one way or the other, like offhand, that you have to, like it does you good to struggle with, no, that's nonsense. It might be how it works out with whatever you do. I mean,
Should it be hard for the people who watch it? Should things be very accessible and easy for them? Isn't that what kind of the popular entertainment tries to do? Make it as easy as possible for people to absorb works, cultures? Some kind of superficial.
This is something I haven't thought about either, but I would think that in my case, I think the best thing would be if it was as easy as possible, and that not that has to make bring the bar down, but nothing. You know, that's one thing I've never done. I hope really intended to is to make the work like more difficult just for its own sake, more obscure. Harder to understand. Of course, most of my work is, but it's not just for that reason.
It was clear in your mind when you did it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And, well, you know, in the music racket, they have this word crossover. You know, you have your crossover hit.
Yeah.
Do you see style like a parallel to that in the art world?
Yeah, it's probably the same, although music is it's hard to compare these, because music tends to overwhelm art because of the
Like with the current climate, if you started to put more flags in your work, would that help you cross over?
No, I don't know about that. I mean, that's something that is to make a career based. Sure, there's plenty of people doing it.
You know, I'm searching.
I think on the other hand, if you saw some of my stuff recently, I have to be. I shouldn't even say it. I have problems with it. It goes beyond art to like the State Department. And
but is that bad?
What is?
To have problems like that?
What is it bad? I don't know. I mean,
detrimental.
To what?
Well, it's something that you wouldn't like. Or is it just something you have to deal with?
Well, you know.
You wouldn't shirk.
It's hard to say, you know. I mean, I've gone. We'll see.
Even if it might make your stuff more inaccessible? Because you said you've never tried to do anything.
What do you mean?
You never tried to keep your stuff away. But if like problems arise, gotta cut your content like that.
I don't care.
Because if they're not really your decisions, don't. These are idiots making judgments on your work.
No, I'm not naive, and I don't have any delusions about anything.
Well, I put cuss words in a song. I know I can't get them on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, put it that way.
But there's other ways to cuss if you're creative, huh?
Yeah.
How often is the radio the goal on the song?
For me? None. You know, but that's the culture I come out of, you know. In a way, records for me are like flyers to get people to come to my gigs. In a way, I don't feel. I mean, I'm using rhythms, notes, melodies, like other people making music, but in a lot of ways, I don't feel maybe in the same league as them. I don't. I have to say I come from a kind of reactionary thing where I wasn't really trying to belong. Use my music to belong. So.
Yeah.
And well, maybe, you know, as a source of livelihood, that's a bad thing. When should that those two things blend, your art and source of livelihood? It's very fortunate if there's a coincidence there, huh?
Well,
I mean, do you have a lot of respect for somebody who intentionally is thinking livelihood?
Do I have a lot of respect or disrespect?
Yeah.
I don't judge them one way or another. I mean, I don't.
You judge the work and whether you like it or not.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, if you have this pure sense of, you know,
the word sell out.
I totally disagree with that whole concept of sellout. So it's very disingenuous, and whenever I hear that,
I get used a lot in that argument.
On what side? The I can imagine.
No, it's usually on the other side, the guy who doesn't sell out.
Yeah.
And it's it's kind of uncomfortable in a way. But on another, on the other hand, people look at it as a good thing not to be a sellout.
Yeah, I know.
So
but
in a way, they're trying to give you a compliment.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
But doesn't that it become this very twisted kind of argument that it just seems to me that the people who are most, you know, with their accusatory fingers, accuse you of being a sellout.
Yeah.
Those are the fuckers who, sorry for the language, but who are the if they hit it, you know, for some random or most likely, you know, like that's what they're trying for all along. If they made it, those are the ones who are on the other side.
And why do you think that argument is so big in people's minds on who's a sellout and who's not? Is there some kind of emptiness? Or are people being assaulted with so much?
Well,
you know, I mean, people in their gut, are they feeling some kind of they're being hustled or something? Because it does seem to be a question that's always up there. And, I mean, I told you I've been used as an example, but I've been, a lot of people have told me that you're an example of an artist who has never sold out.
Is that right?
Yeah, all the time. That's why I'm kind of talking to you about this stuff.
With punk rock, punk was meant to be against this monolithic, really, I mean, it was monolithic groups of, and so I think ideologically to sell out became kind of the bad thing because it was started this group of people who wanted to keep it for themselves. One thing, that's one reason. I mean, I don't really have to go into all this stuff. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But
well, it goes beyond that. It gets into these questions: who's real and who's not?
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, I'm I take it as a compliment. People say to me, "Oh, you're real in this music thing with all these phonies, and you're really real." And then inside, personally, you know, I'm thinking, can I live up to this?
Well,
you know, I am trying
don't bother.
To be, well, you know what I mean, because they're so sincere with it. You know, it seems
I
like
know. That's
they're not just
so
loosely throwing it around.
Ways. They are sincere, but, you know.
Yeah, but what is, it's this climate that is making people look for sincerity.
Yeah, but we were sincere when we were 16 years old. I mean, in one way or another.
Well, I would like to think I still am.
No,
I got jaded in some ways. But I really don't want that to win out. Because I think it would kill my spark to be creative.
To be what?
If I got to the point where I thought I had it all figured out, and it's really just a hustle on how to
get
the money out of the kids' pockets.
Yeah.
And
that is, I think people start that way more than they end that way, though.
How do they usually end up bitter?
Yeah, because there's not that much room for people to make it, you know?
Yeah.
And if that's what you start out for, then if you don't start out that way, then there's other things, you know? But
do you plan your art out down the road?
Plan it out? What do you mean?
Like next year I'm going to be doing this.
No. I have a lot of when I think into the future, there's a lot of things that I haven't had the chance to get to. I mean, I have enough worked out now that to keep me busy for like the rest of my life. But it's not... For one thing, I'm just not good at organizing. No, I don't have that kind of...
Do you think that's a problem?
Yeah, it can be quite a bit. I'm starting to work on that now. But maybe it's a symptom of something that... That's how I am anyway. So I can't really judge that.
Do you think... You know, art, music too, it's kind of a personal journey, or do things get handed down?
Well, yeah, of course things get handed down. I mean...
Not just techniques.
Just techniques? I mean, how do you separate that from... No, everything. I mean, music isn't just technique. I mean, if you... Like the people you're influenced by, which were many, I'm sure. I mean, you've been talked about that. Same thing with art. Yeah, it's not just technique.
But for the artist to bring his meaning or her meaning to it, it's kind of a personal journey. And the techniques are just things for the quiver.
No, in my case. In my case, I can't really say that. I don't have this core, you know, like the personal thing I want to communicate, to impress, to make note of, to put on the record, you know.
Do you think you're contributing to the world, though?
Contributing to the world.
I didn't say how, but...
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's... As far as that goes.
And it's up to the other folks to make up their mind what that is. You're saying that you're not deciding what the contribution is. Whoa. Mm-hmm. We're running out of time. I didn't get to play the...
No Inverness.
No Inverness this week. So next week will be part 11. Raymond, I want to thank you very much for coming aboard, playing music, talking about the art, listening to lots of retarded questions, tolerating them, humoring me.
Please.
By turning them on their head.
Yeah, nice to have you here.
Yeah, you have quite a talent for that. A unique talent. And I'd like to have you on again and maybe discuss some of these things further, and maybe I can be more prepared about not having to ask such foolish things.
Oh, please.
Okay. Brother Matt, thanks so much for your assistance.
Cool, thank
and
you.
Spin Cycle.
Thank you.
And we'll be coming back next week with another installment, another edition. So, till then. This is the September 21st, 2002 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.